Hello and welcome back to Tebow Talks. This is episode 5. I'm here with Emerson Shoykit-Bardis and Matt Wang as usual. Emerson is an old boy. He's returned back to UCC to talk to us for a little bit. So thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So I guess to start, we'll talk about what you've been up to since you've left UCC. It's been how many years? What, three?
2 years.
Two years. Yep. So you've been at UC Berkeley, which is impressive, tough school to get into.
Thank you.
One of the elite UCC members to go to the U.S.
One of the elite UCC members, but okay.
Fair enough. How's that been? How different is Berkeley from, I guess,
from
Canada?
From UCC? It's very different. So for those who don't know, it's in San Francisco. It's across from San Francisco in the Bay Area on the West Coast. It's very different. The campus culture is very different.
Beautiful
obviously,
campus.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. It has like a heavy emphasis on STEM, like math and science. It boasts a very diverse student population. It's mostly people from California, mostly owing to the fact that it's a state school. So about 85% of the people are Californian. There aren't many other people from Canada. Most of them are from Vancouver, just because they stay on the West Coast.
Yeah.
It's very different. I'm blanking a little now as to how different it is, but
fair enough. Yeah. What are you studying?
I'm in physics now. I was in computer science for the first year I was there.
Oh,
and then I switched.
Okay.
From like an academic perspective, I'm sure this is a very common question. Do you feel like the IB prepared you well for university?
Actually, no. I have been asked before, and there are definitely certain parts that did. So like I was in HL math here, that actually did, because there were. Well, first there were two introductory courses I was able to not have to take, and then also like the foundation for math that actually does help a lot, stuff in calculus especially, because with Mr. Chun we went through that option.
Oh yeah.
TOK actually, I actually.
TOK.
Yeah.
Oh,
so TOK actually. It's yes, surprisingly.
Wow.
Well, okay. So I'll explain how. So I actually talked to Mr. Dick about this recently, but it actually is. So not sort of in more of like not so much for classes. But how you like are able to critically think and analyze things, especially at Berkeley, like a very controversial school where there's protests all the time, and those sorts of things. So being able to like analyze the things that different speakers are saying and sort of decide for yourself whether you believe in them. There are things in TOK about that, like the analysis of knowledge and ideas that has helped me.
Right, you heard it here first. TOK is useful.
Yeah.
It is
useful. I feel like it's more useful for some people than others, but it definitely has a use.
Okay, then moving away from academics, I guess, other parts of Berkeley. So you mentioned how it is controversial.
Yes, it is.
Definitely a lot of people at the school are very vocal about that. So do you feel like you're involved with the Berkeley community? Do you do stuff? Do you feel like you're part of the culture or no?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's like Berkeley's such a vast school of 40,000 undergraduates that there's many different facets you can involve yourself in. Some of my involvement in that, like the more like the activism side, like I was in Cal Berkeley Democrats last year, and was able to campaign, canvass, for Hillary in the last election, just briefly.
That's pretty cool.
That experience was definitely very interesting. I kind of wish I had done more earlier, because we went like on the last weekend, and by that point most people already voted. So it was mostly just getting people who hadn't voted to like come out. For like a final push, that was in Reno, Nevada, so a swing state, because in California, obviously California, like she won by a lot, so it wouldn't have been useful.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, that was one of the things I did.
That's interesting. That I Canadian canvassing for an American.
Yes, I actually, I'm also a U.S. citizen, so like,
oh, okay. Fair
like it has right. some importance.
Expanding on that a little bit, though, a lot of people say that California is the American state that's most like Canada, other than the weather, because of the atmosphere and the political climate there.
Yeah.
Do you think that's kind of true, or are there any big culture shocks you faced living in California versus living in Toronto?
That's a good question. So I can't speak for the whole state, but in NorCal, where I am in San Francisco, that's a lot like Vancouver more than it is here.
Okay.
It is. I think it's more left wing than Toronto is.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
I mean, obviously, like, other big differences, the weather's very different. You've been there for months, you know.
Yeah, I think both of us have been to Berkeley for...
It's nice.
It's
enjoyable.
It's a nice place. California's definitely... I think we noticed some differences.
Yeah, for sure. especially compared to
difference in, I'm actually curious as to know, like, what you guys noticed. For me, it was
mainly, like, the people. I don't know. Toronto, I feel like, is a lot more reserved than the U.S.
Yeah, I will say California. That's true, actually, I don't know if you remember Adair Simpson, but California kind of reminds me of Adair, right? And okay. Like recently, we've had negative 30, you know, winters here, and that's like, with provincial, like that's brutal, right? Versus California, like we've talked to, like I talked to the Berkeley rep, she's like, oh, you know, the beach is close by, and an hour away it's the ski and the slopes.
The beach in Berkeley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess if you go to it has a name I'm blanking on right now. But yeah, no, yeah. If you go like it's not like right by. You have to go like through San Fran.
And I think also something interesting is like Berkeley is a college. Like Berkeley is close to San Francisco, but it's not actually in San Francisco.
It's not. No,
so the vibe is kind of different. I know there's that Chipotle on like what is it Telegraph or something that that we went to a lot. But it feels kind of different compared to living like in a big city like Toronto or San Francisco.
No, it is for sure. Yeah. So Berkeley's a small town. It's mostly built around that campus. It's definitely not like going to like U of T, where like you're in the heart of a major city. Like for this, what's nice about Berkeley, I find, is that like there's some schools in the U.S. That are like built or that essentially are their own towns and aren't close to any other major cities.
Yeah.
What's nice about Berkeley is it's by San Francisco, which is a major city. So if you want more things that would be available in the city, like better restaurants, like barbershops, like more ways to go out, you can go there.
Yeah.
And then you have sort of like a smaller town vibe that can be nice sometimes. So it's not too like overwhelming.
Yeah, the city's a 30-minute BART ride away. So then
hour BART ride, but yeah.
Oh, hour. Jeez. Yeah. Okay. So then if you were talking to another UCC student here and they said, man, you know, I love computer science or physics. I want to go to Berkeley. Would you recommend them to do that? What are the caveats you might have them know before committing to that decision?
So first of all, computer science at Berkeley is extremely strong. It is consistently ranked in the top 5, if not top 1. In the world, so definitely is a good place to do that. I think the two big things they should take into consideration are the money and the distance. So if you can afford it, then obviously it's an extremely good school. Obviously in Canada, there are a lot of alternatives that are far less expensive, like U of T, McGill, Queen's, all those. And then distance is also a big thing. Distance is one thing I didn't really take into account as much the first time. It sort of hit me that I was that far away from home and couldn't come back to visit, like here especially. The first term, and like that sort of like I feel like I had a harder time than I thought I would have with that.
Yeah.
So if you think you're gonna be okay, if you think you're gonna be okay with that distance and the money, then it should be a good time. Also, I mean, like you should also try to visit different campuses in the U.S. and Canada have different vibes to them. Each one's different. No single one's the same. So if you go there and you think it fits well with who you are, then for sure, you should try doing it if you can get in.
Very competitive. I think it's like 17% acceptance rate or something, right, for internationals?
Oof.
Okay, very so low. I think this is an interesting segue. So we're recording this on January 9th, and this is the first This I Believe speech from this year's IB2s just came, or DP, what is it, year 12s came out.
Year 12s, not IB1's name, or not IB2s.
Not IB2s, there was a brief DP stint that we won't talk about. But yeah, so Aidan Heaney, head of Jackson's, gave a speech about positivity, about him losing kind of mental and emotional sanity as he lost sleep, as he wasn't able to catch up on work.
I think making the most of your earlier time at UCC.
And I think he gave a very inspirational speech. Emerson, for some of our younger viewers, some of our younger years, whom I have not remembered, also gave a This I Believe speech. And so have many other students at UCC. It's actually been a very common recurring theme as we've seen over time in the past 5 years, talking about mental health, talking about stress at school, about sleep, about all these kinds of things.
Michael Moriyama sticks out.
Michael Moriyama, powerful
one.
Yep.
So first, for those younger years out there, thoughts on mental health.
Thoughts on mental health.
Very broad.
It's a very broad.
At UCC.
At UCC.
Or at least when you were here.
So I can only speak to my experience because I'm very aware that it's changed since I've been here. No, it can definitely be an issue. The IB program is not easy. It's extremely tough, irrespective of the courses you choose. I know sometimes people say like, oh, like you can sort of choose courses that are easier than others. That is true, but I feel like with any combination of courses, the IB still finds a way to make it tough. It's definitely a challenge. And when you balance in all the other things with UCC, like athletics, like arts, it can be tough. And I think I applaud the efforts by the school to make mental health more of a focus. to bring people in grade 12 to the health center to sort of explore options for dealing with problems like that. I know when I was here, I was definitely, there were things I definitely went through that I wish I had more people to talk to about. Yeah, those are pretty much my thoughts on it. I don't know if you guys have any.
Were there any major issues that you saw that when you were here that you think like should be addressed, and maybe we can say if they have been addressed or are going to be addressed? Like, was there any like really major thing that you saw wrong with UCC and its how it dealt with mental health, or even like the stigma around it or the culture, anything like that?
The only thing I would point to is. I feel like people were rougher with each other, especially in the younger grades. I feel like once we got past, at least once I got past grade 10 or 11, and mostly grade 11, people sort of started to realize that, like, I feel like the workload and, like, people's maturity as they got older were great enough that those things, stopped being as big issues as they were before. Yeah. But in the younger grades, yeah, I feel like there were a lot of people that were... I feel like the school could have done a better job at dealing with some of the issues that come with going through puberty at that age.
Yeah, being immature and kind of having a lot of stress put on you at a young age.
To an extent, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, communality under tyranny makes life a lot better. So now that you transitioned to university, do you feel like, and this has also been controversial, do you feel like American universities are, or at least in your experience, UC Berkeley, has it been addressing mental health in similar ways, or is there something different, something better, something worse you found?
It has certainly tried. Berkeley makes a very, very big deal out of making sure everyone's included. There's a lot of programs we go through when we come in as freshmen to sort of try to integrate us well into the community. I can talk about specific programs. I don't know how interesting they'd be to you, but there are tons of things on like sexual assault and drug use and alcohol use that make us go through, which I think are very useful. That's
what they have. We talked about in episode 3, I think, of TWA Talks, a controversial episode as well. We talked a little bit about when you talk about, like, for example, drug abuse, we talked about our health education program here being maybe less than stellar.
Especially me, at least, I find it bad in the older grades, and IB 1 and 2. And maybe you experience this, but, like, it doesn't really exist in the higher grades.
Doesn't exist?
Yeah, like, for us, at least for me, after grade, like, after the health classes through gym in grade 10, I've received no, like, more information on sex ed or any.
Oh, you mean like that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, and then, similarly, like, a lot of people, including me, have been very critical of the curriculum that you're taught, right?
Yeah.
A big thing, especially in schools like UC Berkeley, has been stuff like harm reduction teachings, right? Not like, man, all drugs are bad, don't do them, which is obviously a straw man of, like, what, you know, DARE has been.
Yeah.
But the idea that, you know, these are the harms that come with doing drugs, make sure you don't do those. And recently in the Rosedale-Forest Hill community, we had someone die from drug overdose, which is very tragic, and that spawned a big talk about things like harm reduction. Very, very sad. However, recently, a lot of schools, including UCC, have been trying to make some changes in that area, addressing stuff like mental health, or specifically targeting towards, you know, drug abuse and stuff like that, but more broadly, thinking about reforming the health curriculum. And then in Ontario as well, the government is also considering reforming the health curriculum. I think they're bringing it down to, like, grade 1 or something, which is... a novel idea, but it's like now, like, kids in from grade 1 to 4 will learn about.
I think the program's already in place. Is there not like a new sex ed curriculum?
It was in September, and they learned about like sexuality very early. Mm-hmm. Learned about like support systems, networks, that kind of thing. So I think that's an interesting idea to think about, and we might see that at UCC too, since we're not
definitely
part of
pretty progressive school board. Yeah. For Ontario, for Canada. I think it's like one of the first of its kind in Canada at least.
And it did get some backlash.
It did, but most things.
Something of that nature would definitely have backlash,
for sure. But then speaking on that, are there any other big changes? Now that you have all this experience wealth, you've been to UC Berkeley now, which has, as you said, a different environment treating mental health, but also just generally compared to UCC. Let's say you become, like, principal for a day, you know? Is there...
Here?
Yeah, here.
At UCC.
Is there one, like, immediate, like, snap-of-the-finger change you would make that you think would make life here a lot better?
Yes, rebuilding the pool.
Okay, so you want to speak on that? You were on the swim team when you were here?
Yes. Yeah. I was on the swim team for 8 years. Swam in a pool that was built in 1938, and the base infrastructure for which hasn't been changed since. There were efforts made on my behalf and other people's behalf to try to find solutions to this problem, or to try to either expand the current infrastructure of the pool or make a new one. You mentioned earlier that
they're considering stuff that we don't know for sure yet, but there are some potential interesting things coming out. But it's a big part of Mr. McKinney's new strategic plan, which is exciting. And we've had a discussion previously about school spirit. So last year, I think in the Blue Army Facebook group or something, there was a huge argument about the football team like gets a lot of support, but other sports don't get that kind of support.
I saw that actually, yeah.
Like badminton or rowing.
I think I saw you comment. Yeah,
somewhere.
Okay.
So, it's an interesting topic. So you, perspective-wise, have a different perspective from someone who, you know, was on varsity football for like 4 years or whatever. So from your viewpoint and factoring in your experience from university, A, do you think this is even an important issue at all? And B, if it is, what can we do as a student body to kind of change that problem within reason, you know?
I can speak to why I think it's important. So schools, having a school spirit at the school, I think was one of the most valuable and fun parts of my time here. I think that when I got into university at Berkeley, we have a sports team that does decently, but the experience here I found was much different for a couple of reasons. One, the community and the student body that's cheering for these teams is smaller, so you actually know people that you're with, and you actually in a lot of cases when you're older especially, you know the athletes on the field, so it makes it more fun. All of the rivalries with other schools, namely St. Mike's and SAC, are built through. Well, I mean, it's true. They're built over time, at least from grade 8. So like by the time you're in grade 12, it's much more fun when you're playing them.
It's still going strong.
I've kept up with some things on Facebook.
Matt called out St. Mike's in a debate speech in assembly today.
Oh, we did.
Okay.
But yeah, so that part of the school to me, I don't under like there were people I would talk to when I was here that would be like, oh, I have work, or oh, like I don't understand why it's important, and to me, like making people understand why that's valuable, would be a good thing to do, just because it's so fun once you're into it and once you know people there. Mm. So that was definitely super valuable. And with Berkeley, it's also fun, but to me it's less fun because it's a much bigger the amount of people involved is much bigger. So you obviously can't know everyone cheering for the team. You obviously it's hard to know the athletes on the field. There's one football player I met, but besides that, I don't know any of them. Versus here, where you actually know them all. And then I think there was something before on like the Facebook post you mentioned where they were like, oh, football gets more support and swimming gets less. And my response, and this is something I wrote down in that post, but like my basic response to that was, yes, that's true. But, for whatever reason, it didn't upset me that my sport got less coverage or got less support than football. Like football is inherently, like it's very fun to watch. Swim meets are fun to watch, but like I'll be the first to admit that like swim meets are not as fun to watch as football games or basketball games. And the sense of community and brotherhood that you get from those is super, super valuable and was always super, super fun, especially in my younger years.
Yeah, this year, like Rasheed as athletics dude, he's been making a big effort to give more recognition to people in like the sports that maybe aren't watched as much. We haven't really gone to like swimming awards yet. I don't think we're in that season yet, but we've been doing like cross country or stuff, volleyball, kind of like highlighting those players as well. So I think that's an interesting angle. Something I also think that's interesting you talked about is like the sense of like brotherhood, the community you get from watching sports together, from knowing the people on the field.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting tie back to what we talked about earlier, right? You talked about the idea of support networks when you're engaging stuff like mental health, but just generally as a student going through high school, right? That having those support networks helps you out. So maybe this kind of school spirit based around sports is one way to have those support networks. You know, maybe you've been to seeing all these games with all your friends and you are able to bond that way. You create closer connections. You know that these people who may be role models or leaders for younger kids in the school, maybe they're also able to impart some advice, maybe be a friendly person to talk to, that kind of idea. So I think it's interesting, because a lot of people know me as a cynical, you know, I'm not good at sports, so I must hate them. I enjoy sports in my day, and I think that there are a lot of cool things about school spirit that we probably should try to preserve. I don't know, what are your thoughts, Cam?
I was just going to make a point about how I think one of the key roles that sports have at UCC, as you guys have kind of like hinted to, is like as a, like the connector for the brotherhood almost. Yeah. How kind of like through like sports like football and soccer, you can almost like, you can almost relate to everyone at UCC almost over like a mutual hatred for another school or mutual yeah. rivalry for another school, I suppose.
It's definitely part of that, yeah.
And, yeah, I think that's powerful in many ways. But getting to the point you guys, or Matt, made about, like, smaller sports or maybe less, like, less popular sports getting recognition, it's kind of, like, you can be a fan, but at the same time, if you're working your butt off at, like, squash or swimming or whatever, it's also a little bit demoralizing to see, like, all these football guys getting, like, all the praise and all of the attention when you even in a team like swimming or like tennis or something that's maybe even more successful than the football team, but nobody talks or really cares about you. And maybe it's part of playing for like a less popular sport, but it's still good to be like, hey, other teams do really good things at UCC too.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. And like getting recognition is something that we always wanted more of.
Yeah.
Like whether that be in assembly or in public contact with other members of the school community, like the Remos or whatever, so that's always something that we wanted more, but but for people to be like, oh, we shouldn't support like football or soccer or basketball because they're not getting as much recognition, I was just kind of like, but like those sports are very fun to watch.
Yeah.
And like funny. Like the whole atmosphere around those sports too was always super super fun, especially when we won, but even when we lost.
So time wise, we're almost wrapped up. So we'll go with the last cliche closing out question. You're a man of many man of many talents. There we go. You have the old wisdom that comes from being like 20 and in university.
I'm 19.
Even better. So yes. For the listeners out here. I don't know how many people listen to this podcast, but for whoever is listening, dozens of us. If you could impart a one-liner sentence of advice to them,
doesn't even have to be one line. A word of advice.
What would it be?
To anyone at UCC.
That's big.
It's big. It's tough.
That's very big. there are cliche ones I could give, but I'm trying to think of one that.
Cliche is fine.
Have more meaning. Yeah.
Fair enough. Or even there was one of our articles posted was like, things I wish I knew in year 8.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wished you knew coming into the school or now like looking back that you wished you did or?
Yeah, honestly, to be honest with you, this might be cliche, but like on the last point, there were a lot of like school athletic events I missed, like those games we were talking about that I was like, shoot, I should have gone to those because those would have been more fun. Like for example, the Winterfest hockey game, I only went to the last one and at that in grade 12, and I was like, damn, I really wish I had gone to these more because these are really fun. Even though I tried going to most of them, but yeah, there were some of those where I was like, I should have gone.
All right. So I think that's a good point.
So yeah, but my one line would probably be take advantage of the opportunities that you have at the school because you only realize when you leave like how many things the schools offer you, how many things the school offers you that post-secondary schools, at least in my case, aren't going to give you as easy access to.
All right.
So, yeah.
I think that's a good way to end the episode. Thanks for coming, Emerson.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. And, yeah, we'll see you in the next episode.